Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today is going to come from 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you would like to read along, it will be 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the title of this message is a question. It is a very critical question, a very, very important question. I will give you that title in just a moment. Let's begin by reading the first 7 verses here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Now, did any of those statements stand out to you? Any of the statements that the Apostle Paul made right there, did any of that grab your attention? In verse 4, he said, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth." Think about that. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth? And then in verse 6, he said, speaking of Christ, he said, "who gave himself a ransom for all." Now, here's the title of our message this morning. Does God want everybody to be saved? That's an important question. That is a very important question. Does God want everybody to be saved? Does God want everybody to be saved? I'm sure at some point you have heard someone say, "Well, now you know God wants everybody to be saved." I'm sure you've heard that. Somebody has said that. Maybe you have said that. "Well, now God wants everybody to be saved." Let's ask this question right here. Does He? Just because a man or a woman says that, does that mean God truly does want that? Does He want everybody to be saved? If He is God, if He is actually the Almighty God, I'm sure you've also heard people refer to Him as God Almighty. Almighty. If He wants everybody to be saved, and if He's God Almighty, wouldn't we think everybody would be saved? If that's what He wanted? If He is the all-powerful One, if nothing can overpower Him, nothing. If nothing can overpower or overturn His will or His work, if everyone and everything must bow to the way that He says it's going to be, and if He says, if the God of heaven, God Almighty, if He says, "My desire is for everybody to be saved," wouldn't we think everybody would be saved? Wouldn't that just be the way it is? We have a little bit of a dilemma here that we need to consider. If there is a place of destruction, if there is a place of torment, a place of damnation, and there is a place called hell. I don't even enjoy saying that word, but there is. And there are people in it. We know that there are. Based on the scripture, we know that there are. There are people in it. Our Lord has referred to it as outer darkness. He has referred to it as the lake of fire. So if not all souls are saved, and they're not all souls are saved. If not all souls are saved, then here's our dilemma. It means one of two things. It has to mean one of these two things. Number one, it either means God is not really God. Not really. Or it means God has not purposed for all men and women to be saved. It has to mean one of those two things. If there are lost people, people who end up being lost, and there are, then it has to mean one of these two things. Either God is not really God. This God that we talk about and this God that we pray to and God that we preach, either He's not really God after all, or He has not purposed for all men and women to be saved. Now, we can establish this first and foremost. God really is God. God truly is God. If that'll help us at all with our dilemma, we can go ahead and get that one settled. God really is God. Almighty God. If you look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The only wise God. He said in Isaiah 45, "I am God and there is none else." He said in Isaiah 43, "I will work and who shall let it? Who will stop me? Who will I have to ask permission from?" He said in Isaiah 46, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." What he's saying is, I'll do whatever I want to do. I'm God. David said in Psalm 115, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." So clearly, there's really no dilemma at all. None whatsoever. If every soul is not saved, then it means God has not purposed for every soul to be saved. We see that in so many places in the scripture. Here are a few, just a few that stand out. Esau. God said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I've purposed to save Jacob, I've not purposed to save Esau." That's what God said. Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. God said, "For this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you." He said, "I raised you up to tear you down." That's what He said to Pharaoh. The same thing can be said about Judas, His own disciple, His own follower. The Lord called him the son of perdition. Perdition means utter destruction. It means ruin. It means loss. The Lord said he was lost according to purpose, according to the scriptures, according to the command. And if you look at chapter 1 again, verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." That's an on-purpose announcement. He said they were delivered unto the adversary that they might learn not to blaspheme. They were delivered on purpose to the adversary. So clearly we can see that God has not purposed for all men to be saved. All right, then here's the question. Why does chapter 2, verse 4 say, "Who will have all men to be saved?" Well, let's look at that in the context that it was written. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Well, why would we do that? Why would we make supplications? That means begging in a humble way, begging for something. Prayer means specifically to God, praying to God. Intercession means on behalf of someone else. It's very natural to beg and pray to God on behalf of ourselves, but why would we do that on behalf of somebody else? Verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men." If we know that God is absolutely sovereign in all things and he has purposed a particular people to be saved and they're going to be saved, if only God's elect are going to be saved, then why would we do that? Why would we pray for all men? Here's a good illustration of why. This is a very good illustration of why. Someone asked a man named Charles Spurgeon, an old preacher of the gospel back in the late 1800s. They asked him, "If you believe that only God's elect will be saved," they said, "then why don't you just preach to God's elect?" He said, "I would if they had a big E on their forehead. But they don't. And I don't know who they are. So I preach to all men and women. I preach to all men and women. Who knows whether they may be one of the ones who were chosen to salvation?" God is going to save a people, he said, out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue on this earth. Out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. Psalm 100 says, "His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I'm so glad for that. He is going to save from every nationality of people. He is going to save from every generation of people. He is going to save from every class of people, kings all the way down to paupers, and many more paupers than kings. Scripture says not many noble. But the point is, he's going to save all types of people, all kinds of people, all manner of men from all over the world. Not just Jews, but Gentiles too. Thank God. If you look with me at Acts chapter 11, it says in Acts chapter 11, this is where the Lord came to Peter in a vision. And he said, "I want you to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles." And this was confusing to Peter, very confusing, because he thought that the promises of God were only to God's chosen people. That's what Peter thought. He said, "I thought the promises of your word were just to your chosen people." And so did the rest of the Jews. They all thought that. And they are. The promises of God are only to God's particular people, God's chosen people. But here was the problem. Peter and the rest of the Jews didn't know who God's people were. Romans 2 says, He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Just because a man is born into the nation of Israel, that's not what makes him a child of God. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart. God said it's in the spirit. It's whoever God makes to be one of his people, calls to himself. But the Jews didn't know this yet. So when they found out that Peter went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles, they said, "Why did you do that? What was the purpose in that?" Peter told them how God commanded him to do so. And then after he obeyed the word and went and preached to them, he told them how God's Holy Spirit came to those Gentiles and brought faith to those Gentiles, the faith of Christ that God gives to his people. And he told them how God caused those Gentiles to believe the message that was preached. He said, "I preached God's sovereignty to them and God's absolute power and purpose in salvation. I preached God did the work alone," and they believed it. They believed the word. And if you look right here in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, Peter said, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." He's telling the Jews this. Verse 16, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, the other Jews, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." At that moment, they realized God's salvation is not limited to just that little nation of Israel. It's going to go to the whole world. It's going to circle the whole world. He is going to have mercy on, and he is going to save men and women from all over the world. How thankful we are as we sit right here. How thankful we are. It doesn't matter whether a person is Jew, Gentile, male, female, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And it's all manner of men. So if you look with me back at 1 Timothy chapter 2, that's why Paul said we need to be praying for everybody. Pray for them. Pray for them. We need to be preaching to everybody. All men. All men. Verse 1. "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." He's going to have mercy on all kinds of men, whether they seem to be too sinful or too self-righteous, whether they seem to be too ignorant or too wise in their own eyes. God, in His mercy and in His kindness and in His grace, in His love, He will have all men, all kinds of men to be saved. Verse 2 says, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We pray for the salvation of all men, whoever God might be willing to save. And we pray for God's control and restraint over all men, that He might lead those who are in authority, that all of God's people might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And He's going to do that. God is in control. God is absolutely sovereign over all men, and He will restrain and He will do according to His will. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in His hands," Christ's hands, "the hand of the Lord Himself. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will." One man is in control. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The lot may be cast into men's lap. The lot may be cast into our lap on whatever the subject may be. But the Scripture says the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So Paul said, we pray to the Lord concerning all men. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. All manner of men from all over this world, He is able to save to the uttermost, no matter where you are, physically, emotionally, mentally. He's able to save to the uttermost, and He will. He will. Verse 4 says, He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, every soul that He saves will come to a knowledge of the truth. Every soul that He saves, that He purposes to save, will come to a knowledge of the truth. That is an evidence of who He saves. That's an evidence. He has not purposed to save all men. He has not. But He has purposed to save some out of all men. And the souls that He has purposed to save, they are evidenced in this way. This is how you know who He has purposed to save. He brings every single one of them to a knowledge of the truth. If you look with me at John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no man can come to me, this is Christ speaking, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Every one of them. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. They shall all be taught of God. All of my saved people, He's saying, they're all going to be taught of God. What are they going to be taught? Well, number one, they're going to be taught that no man can come to Christ except the Father who sent Christ draw that sinner to Christ. They're going to be taught that. They're going to learn the truth about how high and holy God is. No man can approach unto Him unless God makes that man acceptable to approach unto Him. They're going to learn the truth about how low and sinful they are. They're going to get a true understanding of the depth of their depravity and their wickedness before God. They're going to realize, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm a sinner against God. Oh, I'm a sinner. They're going to learn the truth about salvation. They're going to realize my works won't do me any good because they're all filthy rags. They're all tainted with sin. It's going to take the work of Christ alone. It's going to take the blood of Christ alone without me adding anything to it. They're going to come to know the truth. They are going to come to know a person. The truth Himself. He said, I am the truth. I'm the truth. Man tries to satisfy the law, obey the Word of God. Once he sees the person, the truth, Christ, he will see the law is satisfied in Him. Man tries to make all these sacrifices to God. He gives up all these things and makes all these sacrifices. But once a man sees the truth, Christ Himself, he will realize the sacrifice has already been made. It's settled. God is satisfied. Nothing else has to be done. It's all finished. Over in John chapter 8, verse 32, our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. Free from trying to secure a salvation that Christ has already secured for you. All of God's saved people, every soul He purposed to save, will be brought to a knowledge of Christ the truth. So God has purposed in His heart to save a particular people. He has purposed to draw those people to Himself, and He's purposed to reveal the truth to them. That's how we know. Now back in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 said, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's what God's people come to know. One God, and I'm not it, He is. And only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's my only hope. I cannot mediate for myself. Verse 6 says, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all." All that the Father gave to Him. That's what Christ said. John 17, He said, "I pray not for the world," meaning every soul in the world, "but for them which Thou hast given me out of the world." He said, that's who I'm praying for. That's who I'm going to save. That's who I'm going to save. He told Nicodemus, here, you know, you hear verses like John 3:16. "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on Him might be saved." Well, the Lord said, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Whoever God sends that Spirit to will believe on Him. I pray that's you and me. I pray God will send His Spirit to us, cause us to see Christ, and bow the knee to Him. That will be our evidence. May God save our souls. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.